Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme. Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event.
All righty, we are back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I am the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon. I just unplugged my computer. Oh, my goodness. Harry, I saw you on the line. Please give me just a moment. You know, I have a problem with technology. Since I have a moment here to ramble and apologize to Harry while he's hopefully hanging on the phone. My luck with technology has not been great. My phone is messing up on me. I can't three-way dial anymore. I can't text. My computer battery has 0% storage capabilities, so if I just slightly unplug my laptop, the whole thing shuts down. It's wanted to update 10 million times, and yeah, I could go into the truck scenario, but that's just something else. You know, for everybody who's joining us today, as soon as my laptop gets going, I will be welcoming the great actor, director, producer, animator, so much more, Harry Chaskin. He has done so much, including Robot Chicken, WWE Slam City, the Grand Slams for Denny's, which I enjoy. Denny's, the Grand Slams, and the Grand Slams TV show. It gets into a whole different thing with pancakes and sausage, but Hellboy the Troll Witch, and so much more. The computer's powering up right now. Ian, welcome. It's about time. I am running a show. See if I was on, like, some kind of terrestrial FM radio up in New York City, I would have lost, like, 15 sponsors right now. That's the unfortunate part of working with dumb technology and not having an assistant. Like, if I had a good desktop computer and I had some pretty assistant sitting there who could just let on my guests, that would it'd be pretty sweet. We also have some great shows coming up. There we go. We are getting there. My apologies to everyone, including our special guest, who, like I said, is hopefully still very nice and kind and waiting on the line, because it's just going to be just another moment. I have been going through strings of bad luck, and I'm just ready for it to end. I try to be a happy and cool guy, but the bad luck is getting me down, guys. Come on, laptop. I don't have all day. It's already been 4 minutes, literally 4 minutes since I started. I don't have all day for this. Oh, my goodness. Man, well, now that my desktop's up for a second, I can say we're back August 30th with rap artist and internet celebrity Tawny Mouth, a.k.a. T-Baby. It's so cold in the D. Internet sensation, 9 million views on her YouTube video. And then we got Victory Born Cosplay, September 8th, before Dark History Con. Oh, my goodness, here we go. My calves have come springing back up on me. And I just got to find Blog Talk. Yes, I would like to restore the session. Little teddy bear holding the box. Oh, my goodness. Yep, this is oh, my goodness. I have 8 million pop-ups are popping up that stuff I didn't even have open. Oh, my goodness. Oh, come on, computer. Here we go, studio. Come on, loading. We're still loading. No callers. All right, well, I apologize. My apologies. See, I'm just out of it. My dogs are barking. Oh, goodness. Well, maybe he is on the line. Hold on. Oh, my goodness. Why is it saying 7 minutes until episode, but we're on air. I'm refreshing the studio. This is irritating me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We're having trouble finding the site. Are you kidding me? That's not even a teddy bear. I don't know what that animal's supposed to be. Dinosaur? Come on. Oh, my goodness. Why am I am so sorry. I'm having such a hard time. If this show was not G-rated, I promise you guys, R-rated Rapture, coming soon. Leave the kids in bed. It's going to get crazy. I'm going to go off on laptops. I'm going to go off on internet. I'm going to go off on dogs. It's saying server not found. Are you kidding me? You've got to be kidding me. My internet's saying full bars. Nothing's working. This is where the wrestling manager, the wrestling personality comes out of me, because I'm going to take this laptop and I'm going to throw it off the top of the tallest building with the highest peak in the biggest city in the world, and I'm going to just jump down on it and crush into a million pieces. My internet's not working. Oh, my goodness. The Hulk is coming out. The anger sharks are swimming around in me. Come on, laptop. I've never been someone who can cope with stress easily. And this is really stressing me out. Like, I've had so much bad luck with everything lately, I just need a freaking break. This is the show that never happened, but it goes on and on and on and on and on. Welcome to Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of most, Jimmy Falcon, having a mental breakdown. Tune in next as weatherman Jay Johnston runs down your top city weathers, including Tampa Bay, Fresno. We got Bumblestick, Kentucky, and quite a few more things. So, yeah, I don't know what to do. My internet is showing full bars, but it's not pulling up anything. Airplane mode. There go my dogs again. Welcome to the most unprofessional professional interview you've ever heard. Host of the most, Jimmy Falcon here. Mental breakdown, dogs barking, computer technology going awry, attitude in the crapper. Please work. Just please get me there. I mean, in 10 years of having this show, I've never once had this much problems. Okay, I'm finally back to the studio, getting to the studio. Never. First time. This is something to tell the grandkids about. And he's still holding. Holy cow. This guy deserves an Emmy Award. 9 minutes, 5 seconds. I am so sorry, Harry. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I hope I entertained you while I was having my mini mental breakdown there, because I was... I'm
that
great.
Was impressive.
How are you?
I was trying to chime in and help bail you out a little bit, but I don't know how
well,
all this technology works.
Well, the studio's all on one browser, so it was saying that the website was not working or something, and you have to get on the website to click over from hold to letting the person on the air. It's just a big jumble. But how are things with you?
Good, good. That was impressive. That could have gone like Peter Finch from Network real quick, but you kept it going. I'm doing fine, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's a little warm here in the Midwest, but, you know, it's either warm or cold. I guess being here my whole life, I'm pretty much used to the random occurrences of weather.
Yeah, definitely. It's been toasty here in sunny Los Angeles as well, though the heat wave just broke, so I'm hoping for some rain or something.
Yeah, that's true. Most of the people I've talked to recently are out in California are always going, talking about the wildfires, and the lack of water you guys have is just amazing. The fire-to-water ratio is not good in California.
I've never heard it quite put that way, fire to water ratio, but that's absolutely right. So thanks for having me on.
I guess to get into things besides me ranting and talking about the weather, I did want to start, I guess, kind of start recent and go backward in your career. I wanted to ask you about two certain characters to start, portraying Hellboy. and someone completely different, the great sausage in the Grand Slams.
Wow, you've done your due diligence. Talking about the voice acting, I assume. So yeah, you know, Hellboy and Sausage from Denny's, classic dynamic duo. Yeah, I don't know. Hellboy was a dream come true. Did that little animated project through a friend of a friend that had reached out to me and honestly was looking for a budget Hellboy. And you know, honestly, Hellboy as a voice, I mean, you can probably hear as I'm speaking now, sits closer to my my natural resonance than a sausage in a fedora does. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to do. I've always been a big fan of Hellboy, both the Mignola comic as well as the Guillermo del Toro films and Ron Perlman in general. So, you know, it was fun to take that character and take those influences and kind of put my own spin on it for that little 5-minute short. As far as Sausage goes, he's on the total other end of the spectrum. You know, Hellboy's down here and Sausage is up here. But still the same voice somewhere in there.
I'm trying to say, I must have been, 2016. I opened the Denny's in town while I started as the dishwasher when we opened. I'm not going to act like I'm a big franchiser here. Yeah, I got 16 Denny's under my belt. But anywho, when I found out about the Grand Slams, I'm like, I just love this. I don't know what it is that it can appeal to 30-year-old me and a kid as well. And I've been going in there now. They got the little figures on the cups, and I'm getting the little figures and all this stuff. And I'm a big kid myself. And I go, you know, I'm gonna do the old search of the IMDb and see if any of these great actors would like to grace me with their presence. And I found you, good sir.
So that's, I was going to ask how you tracked me down. So it was through Denny's, the Grand Slams, huh?
It started with Sausage, and it ended with Hellboy by Harry Chaskin.
Started with Sausage, yeah, out of the frying pan into the fire.
There you go, that's even better.
Yeah, that can be my, my posthumous autobiography. But yeah, no, Denny's was a lot of fun. It's funny, the, you know, similarly, the spots were a lot of fun. They appealed to me as an adult, but also to the kid in me. And I don't know, they're kind of just the gift that keeps on giving. We did the first round, I guess in 20, it's all blurry now, 2014 or 2015, and I thought it was going to be kind of one and done, and now it seems like every year we get the call and get to do some more. And, you know, Denny's has just been great in terms of being willing to play and letting, coming up with crazy ideas and letting us run with them.
Yeah, I think they're definitely a great company, and as far as marketing, that's genius, just making a show with anamorphic pancake and a sausage and a bacon and an egg, and you got the talking coffee cup and everything. It's great. It's
no,
probably a creation of an acid trip, but it's great.
Yeah, could be. I don't know exactly how it originated. The funny thing is Pancake and I have known each other since our college days, so... It's fun to be able to do that together.
Yeah, yeah. Pancake, he's on a lot more of their merchandise, so he didn't answer my email. So maybe there's a pancake sausage war I don't know about, but I do appreciate you you joining me. And I you know, moving
no,
on
absolutely.
From sausage
I'll,
and
I'll...
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I'll get on Pancake's case about that, and and maybe the war can continue, but yeah, I'm sorry you were saying.
Oh no, you're fine. You know, as far as moving from a demon and sausage, I did want to ask you also about working on a couple of neat shows. One that's a little more known than the other, but Robot Chicken and WWE Slam City, because I've always been a big wrestling fan. And I think having kind of like a revival of the rock and wrestling in the 80s with, you know, a cartoon and wrestling was really cool. So what was those experiences like?
Those were great. I, you know, I'm not not sure how much background you have. I was on those shows as a director rather than a voice actor, which is honestly primarily what I do. The voice acting is fun, but kind of a side thing. But WWE Slam, excuse me, Slam City was great. You know, that was produced by Stupid Buddy Studios, which is the same company that does Robot Chicken, Supermansion on Crackle, as well as the Denny's spots. I do a lot of work with them. And I remember they had approached me and said, hey, we've got this project with WWE. It's in conjunction with a toy line that Mattel is producing, and it's basically these fun little 3-minute stop-motion animated shorts involving all the character, all the wrestlers in the WWE universe getting normal mundane jobs, being auto mechanics and cafeteria workers, and you know, and the idea sounded really fun to me, just to take something larger than life and kind of operatic and juxtapose it with the mundane. And it was a lot of fun. You know, we did, I think, 26 episodes all in stop motion animation, which takes quite a bit of time to create. And it was especially fun for me. That was really, and I don't know if it's sacrilege to say on this show, that was my first introduction to wrestling. I had never, you know, besides having a peripheral knowledge of some of the heavy hitters like Hulk Hogan in the 80s, I didn't know that much about it. And so that was a cool experience to just get kind of thrown headfirst into this world. We had our first meeting at SummerSlam in the Staples Center here in L.A., and I was suddenly just kind of in the middle of it. And within the period of about a month, as the scripts were being written and we were starting to figure out how we were going to create all of this, suddenly I knew everybody's name, costume, signature moves, catchphrases. And yeah, it was just a ton of fun to absorb all of that and then get to do something with it in stop motion animation.
You know, another that kind of made a whole other question is, I did want to bring up stop motion. How much has it changed
Sure.
since the days of Gumby and Mr. Bill? Is it still the same tediousness? Is there any more, you know, usefulness for computer workings? Or
that's a great question. In terms of the actual technique of stop motion animation, it's pretty much the same, and that's part of what I love about it. At the end of the day, it's all still physical, handmade objects that are tactile and exist under real light and are being manipulated by an animator's hand one frame at a time. What has improved with technology since the days of Gumby and is really just the image capturing technology. You know, in the old days, all of stop motion was shot on film, and this is even as recent as a movie like Nightmare Before Christmas, which I guess was still about 25 years ago. But you'd be shooting on film. You wouldn't necessarily be able to see what you were animating in real time. Best case scenario, you might have a video tap inside the film camera that would allow you to play back 2 or 3 frames that you had posed previously. But now with digital technology and DSLR cameras and software such as Dragon Frame, which is the name of the kind of industry standard stop motion software, it enables you to see what you're doing and play it back in real time, which while the technique is the same, the ability to be able to review it and make adjustments on the fly as you go has certainly made things not necessarily easier, but a little more straightforward, and it's been able to speed up the process a little bit. The other thing that has helped stop motion as an art form is the ability to do digital visual effects like you know, with stop motion, what I say is you're always fighting gravity. You know, if you want to have a character jump, that means that you have to physically suspend the puppet or the clay creature, whatever it is, with a wire or a piece of fishing line or a rod. And in the old days, prior to digital visual effects, you would have to find clever ways to hide that support. Whereas now, you can kind of hold a puppet up with anything, really, and then in post-production, go in digitally and erase those supports or those rigs. So that certainly helped a lot in terms of what we can see stop-motion puppets do and the tools that we use to animate them doing certain activities, if that makes sense.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I guess something I didn't want to go back to Slam City for a minute before I completely get this out of my mind and forget about it. You know, I guess I thought it was really neat. I ended up knowing some of the, like, not knowing, but had interviewed in the past some of the guys that were on the show. Dave B. Mitchell and Pat Fraley, who's been on the show a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Very talented actors.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Pat's great. I feel like we've crossed paths a few times, but he's a very talented voice actor.
Absolutely. And I guess, you know, wrapping up, I always like to ask everybody what the future holds and what they'd like to promote. I know you have a book coming out, and, you know, you could have your own blog or a nudie calendar or something. So go ahead and promote, sir.
Heaven forbid a nudie calendar for everyone's sake. I do have, since you asked, a original graphic novel coming out in 2 weeks. It'll be available on Amazon and Comixology on September 14th. It's called The Happiest Place, and it's my first graphic novel, and it's about a washed-up, chain-smoking theme park security guard who becomes embroiled in a web of cartoon corruption at sort of a Disneyland-esque theme park, and it gets even weirder and off the rails from there as he digs deeper into this, you know, sort of the seedy underbelly that lurks quite literally between beneath the amusement park that he works. And yeah, that'll be coming out on September 14th. I'm very excited about releasing that and curious to see what people will think of it.
I love when you can mix an art form of something fun, like a theme park, and then you throw, like, zombies or, you know, a Martian invasion or something that's just not supposed to be there. It just somehow makes the product that much more fun for you know, for those of us that have kind of kooky minds. It works. It works
totally.
Great.
Yeah. No, I think so, too. It was... You know, one of the fun things about writing the book was crafting an original theme park from the ground up and kind of keeping stuff like that in mind, thinking about what rides might exist and then finding ways to skew them or twist them slightly in a way that might not ever exist at a real theme park. Like instead of a Pirates of the Caribbean ride, there's a Roman Pompeii's burning volcano flume in the park in my book that, you know, people get in these... River Styx-esque boats and go down a stream of lava to meet their demise. So, yeah, definitely fun to take stuff like that and turn it on its head a little bit.
If you find success with this one and decide to make another one, I think a theme park with, you know, the rides being ran by Jeffrey Dahmer and Jack the Ripper and, you know, a bunch of, like, famous murderers.
Yeah, definitely. You could do the Donner Party Main Street Parade. people in bare feet.
You could go instead of bombing
snow,
for apples,
eating each other.
Yeah, instead of bombing
for
apples, you could bomb for bodies in Gacy's basement or something.
Yeah, that would. somehow, I don't see that business plan taking off. But maybe in a fictional universe, that's something.
I don't want to get backers for a project. I'm just saying it would make a good book or a good short story. short film or something.
Of course.
But anyways.
Yeah, no, and plus, Gacy's already a clown, right?
True. There you go. That works perfect.
Yeah.
His clowns are always
yeah,
the
weird.
It just goes hand in hand.
Well, the weird thing about Gacy is him dressing as a clown is completely ancillary to all the horrible things that he did.
Sure.
That was like a side gig that had nothing to do with anything. But anyway, I digress.
Well, thank you so very much for giving me the time, and especially for holding a total of 9 minutes and 5 seconds for me to figure out all my flaws in my entertainment. But I really do appreciate it,
yeah,
sir. It was a great interview, and best
yeah,
of luck with the novel and with more Grand Slams, and it keeps sausaging it up, my man.
We'll keep sausaging it up. Thanks so much for having me on, and yeah, have a good rest of the show.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.
You too. All righty, guys. I do have a new collections of recollections from my dear pal, Clarence Cloverleaf, who opened the show with us. He opened the show with us. He always opens the show. He's been here for 7 years. I don't think I'm going to fire him anytime soon. He is the spokesman with the plan. So here we go to collections of recollections. For August of 2018, I'll be back in just a couple of minutes, actually less than that, on Cloverleaf
this
Radio.
This is Clarence Cloverleaf, bringing you back down my exotic and always entertaining life in collections of recollections. Back in 1966, I was still in my younger and more vulnerable years. I was a mere 21-year-old man. Had I known what I know now, this story would never have existed. I was walking down the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles, California. I had recently relocated to the Sunshine State from England and was trying to get used to life in America. I had befriended a man just a few years older than myself. After what seemed only like a few moments, unrest began to happen, and in a gigantic way. To keep this story short and G-rated, I'd become entwined in the Sunset Strip curfew riots. After some throwing of bottles, breaking of windows, and more civil unrest, the night ended with myself and Peter Fonda, my friend I mentioned earlier, handcuffed and in the back of a cruiser. In the end, Pandora's box was demolished in 1967, yet the Whiskey A Go-Go is still one of the most known clubs in the world. And both were involved in those insane and harmful riots. This has been Collections of Recollections. It's been a pleasure telling you my stories. Good day to you!
Well, Clarence got a little dark with that one. I did not expect that. Wow. Riots? Clarence is getting crazy in his older age. He's bringing out stories that I've never even heard. He's getting himself wrapped up in riots with Peter Fonda. This is ridiculous. Well, I'm getting yelled at by the crazy pre-recorded computer-simulated British lady that runs Blog Talk Radio telling me I'm running out of time. Big thanks again to Harry Chaskin and, of course, all of you for joining us and listening, as always. I'm going to end with about a minute clip from a few years back when I interviewed the legendary musician Alan Parsons. This is him discussing working with the Beatles at the legendary Abbey Road Studios in England. We will be back on the 30th with the one and only rap artist, internet celebrity, Latonya Miles, a.k.a. T-Baby. The voice behind It's So Cold in the D, 9 million views on YouTube, music heard on Beavis and Butthead, even performed by Usher and New Kids on the Block in concert appearances. September 8th is Victory Born cosplay, and September 14th, the GLOW Radio Reunion Part 4 with MTV, Grimlina, and Roxy Asta returning to the show, discussing many things, including the GLOW Cruise and the GLOW Netflix show, which a lot of the GLOW girls, the original GLOW girls, I should say, don't like, and I kind of agree with him. It's a whole different thing. We're going to go into that soon, but here we end with Alan Parsons. And we will see you guys on the 30th. Thank you for listening. Have a great night.
You know, in my reading, I remember in 1967, when you were just 18 years old, you went to work as an assistant engineer at Abbey Road Studios, where you earned your first credit on the LP Abbey Road by, of course, the Beatles. What do you remember working with the Beatles on this and other projects?
Well, of course, it was an amazing period. I think it was a little later. It was more like 69. And the first experience was the Let It Be album. As some people fail to remember, the last two Beatles albums were released in reverse order. So the first album I worked on, Let It Be, and then I also worked on Abbey Road, but the first to be released was Abbey Road, and then Let It Be followed. But it was an amazing time. I mean, you know, hey, how bad can it be working with, you know, arguably the greatest rock pop band of all time? I mean, it was amazing, and getting paid for it. Not a lot, but getting paid for it.